Some of you, I've shared a little bit about the typhoon that went through the Philippines, and I got a kind of an update thing from the Guam newspaper that Tacloban, which was basically destroyed, it's still destroyed. It's a ghost town. Most of the people have left there. So in April, Lisa and I will be heading that way, and we'll be a ways from there. But I'm going to see if I can talk her parents into taking us over there and seeing what it's like and seeing what's going on. As I was looking at the map that you all had up here, the Philippines is where Mountain Nutrition is and is where it grows, and it's prevalent, it grows there. And Lisa knows what it's called. So I'm taking my manual with me, and I'm going to see what I can do while I'm there. So we'll see what happens. It's not a great big formal thing. Philippines is kind of right there. And Lisa and I will be down at the kind of the southern end of it down there. And I will take my manual with me, and we'll see what happens while we're there. Who knows? But as we get started, continuing in this series that we're doing in Luke, the investigative gospel, today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And we'll get to that in just a moment. And a message that's titled, First Mary, Now Us. And I want to start this morning with a small exercise. And no, I'm not going to ask you all to get up and run around. We'll leave that to the guys later on. The little guys will be running around doing that. But what I want you to do is I want you to remember being 15. Okay, some of you aren't there yet, okay? But you'll get there. Remember what it was like to be 15. Can you think back that far? What were you doing at the age of 15? See, some of you here today, you may actually have children or grandchildren who are that age. But this morning, I want you to remember what it was like to be 15. You see, 15, it's kind of an awkward time. Your body is somewhere between childhood and adulthood. Your hormones are doing all kinds of things with your body and with your voice. And there's this great race to grow up. Still at 15, you're not old enough to drive. You're not old enough to vote. Not old enough to stay out late or to even live on your own. At 15, there are a lot of things that you are not allowed to do. Now close your eyes for a moment. Remember yourself at 15 years of age. You're in junior high or middle school. Interested in things that 15-year-olds are interested in. You're still a child and you're living at your parents' house. And then one night, there is a disturbance in another room of your house, and you get up to go and investigate. And there in the middle of your living room stands this beautiful, supernatural, and absolutely terrifying angelic presence that speaks these words to you. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. What would you do? Freak out, exactly. What would be going through your mind? Would you be wondering how fast you can get out the back door and maybe down the street? I want you to keep that thought in mind as we read our text this morning from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along there. Aaron will put them up here for you. It reads like this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Scholars say that Mary was somewhere between the age of 13 and 16, and most likely, to be more exact, she would be 15 when the angel Gabriel gave her this message. Is there any question why the angel told Mary not to be afraid? See, she had plenty of reason to be absolutely terrified. For one thing, how many of you have ever stood in the presence of an angel from the Lord? If you have, then you will understand why they always begin in Scripture with, be not afraid or don't be afraid. You see, God's angels are nothing like what is portrayed by Hollywood. See, they are a presence that commands extraordinary power and authority. And when you have been in the presence of an angel, there is no question what you have just witnessed. See, just that alone is enough of an experience to be terrifying to a 15-year-old girl. Now, equally terrifying is the promise that she is about to become pregnant out of wedlock. Now, in today's society, it doesn't seem to be as great a deal. But imagine back then, you see, back when Mary was betrothed to Joseph, a betrothal in that day and age was much more than just an engagement. It indicated a contract between families for a future marriage. The bride and groom, they often didn't have any say in the matter. The betrothal might be sealed with some elaborate gifts or even a feast. And the whole family was involved in it, and it was all nice and legal. And Mary breaking this contract by becoming pregnant with another man's child, it was grounds for her to be stoned on the spot. So I want you to hear that. Joseph, when the word got out, Joseph could have had her killed for what this angel was proposing to her. See, she had every reason to be terrified by that news. Who on earth was going to believe such a ridiculous story? A virgin birth? Impossible. You know, even in this day and age, there continues to be some volatile disagreement in the church over the literal account of this birth of Christ. There are all sorts of scholarly reasons not to believe it. Many believe that there was an error that was recreated somewhere between the Hebrew prophecy and the Greek interpretation. Somehow they got it wrong. You see, things like miracles are threatening to the academic mind. We as people from the Western culture believe that everything is capable of being understood. Everything works within a certain understandable and reproducible framework. And that provides balance to our universe and to our world. But somehow miracles do not exist within that framework. In fact, they're the very antithesis to reason. They go against it. And a mind that holds that reason is ultimate in understanding will never experience the miracle of Christ's birth. Now understand me, I'm not saying that reason is bad. I'm just saying that reason is not the ultimate value in the universe. Now, men, we need to hear this in particular. See, God has chosen love to be the ultimate value in the universe. And love, in many, if not most cases, has nothing to do with reality or reason. Just try being in love and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Love is about as unreasonable an expression of our humanity as there is. And this is how God chose to reveal himself. The virgin birth has nothing to do with reason. And that's why it's called a miracle. Quite frankly, it comes down to a question of faith. A question of faith that was first answered by a scared 15-year-old girl. See, try having all of that put on your shoulder. And you see, some 2,000 years later, scholars are still debating all of that. The virgin birth. Try it as an uneducated 15-year-old girl betrothed to another man, knowing that full and well what the consequences of agreeing to this would almost be certain death. And there is a dose of reality. All along I've been asking you to imagine yourself at 15. Who were you? What were you doing? What did your life look like? Can you remember? Now imagine an angel standing there before you, asking you to bring the hope of the entire earth into the world. And you know that the consequences will certainly mean being ostracized from your family, and it perhaps could even bring about your death. How would you answer? Would you find yourself questioning if it were even possible? Would you find yourself asking God why He chose you to be the instrument for salvation of the world? See, if God were to tell you that the eternity of others hung in the balance of your willingness to carry Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and then to share Him with others, how would you answer? But you see, that is the question that God is asking you. That's the question that He asks each and every one of us. It was just asked of a 15-year-old Hebrew girl first. And her task was far more difficult than any of us are ever likely to experience. But the question that He asks, it remains the same. Think about it. God has been asking people to share His Son for 2,000 years. It started with Mary. And yes, the consequences for her agreeing were far more than any of us could ever suffer. But the question is still the same. Are you willing to share Jesus Christ with the world? See, that hope rests on us today. Will we be like her? Will we give birth to Jesus Christ in our actions? In our thoughts? How about in our deeds? Will we obey the Lord and walk in His ways? Will we share Christ with the world? See, a survey was taken that asked the question, what is the greatest hindrance to your sharing your faith? And the largest group, 51% of people said that the biggest problem was fear of how others would react. Why? Why 51% fear of why others would react? Because nobody likes to be rejected or ridiculed or regarded as an oddball. Sure, there is some risk, but the stakes that we gamble in sharing our faith, our hope, and our salvation is nothing compared to what God asked of Mary. In sharing Christ, Mary risked being shunned, beaten, and even a public stoning. In sharing Christ, we risk upsetting someone or maybe being embarrassed. Kind of pales in comparison. But see, I thank God that there was someone who was willing to take that risk for my sake. I thank God for Bill and Fran Reif, who at the end of the war were willing to take that risk and pack up their family and move all the way to the island of Guam, where they started Pacific Ocean Mission, which would later become First Church of God, Barragata, Guam. I thank God for my sister, Tori, who was willing to invite her younger brother to go to church with her. And I thank God for the many people who were at First Church of God when I was in, yes, junior high. Some ADD, hyperactive little runaround kid who were willing to take the risk and to love on me. See, thank God that there were people who thought it was worth the risk of being rejected and all these other things for the sake of my salvation. How about you? Who was it that was willing to take a risk for you? Think about it for a moment. Who was willing to take a risk? Now, some of you, somebody may have just popped in your mind. You may be thinking of somebody. We're going to give you a couple moments. Your wife. Okay, Ziggy says his wife. Anyone else? Who was it that took a risk for you? Can you think of somebody who stood up for you? Someone did, because you're here today. Yeah. Okay. Brother and sister, yeah. Anyone else? Youth pastors. Yeah, they're marvelous, wonderful people, aren't they? Yeah, when we were growing up, it was Mike and Nora Snavely. And they were willing to take us around and put up with us and do all kinds of things. Bruce and Annette, yeah. Anyone else? Can you think of somebody? Yeah, Rich. Okay. All right. Take the risk and invest in you and look where you're at today. Yeah. Awesome. Anyone else? I know for some of you it's kind of weird to talk in the middle of a sermon and stuff, but that's what I want. It's this interaction. Yeah. Hawkeye. Okay, your wife. Yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. God uses all kinds of people. We have no clue. Anyone else? Yeah, Paula. Reverend Nelson. Sounds so official, doesn't it? Cool. Yeah, anyone else? I'll give you a couple more. Yeah. Okay. He's weird. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, one more. Last chance, anybody? You have the chance. All right. Jerry, I saw your hand go up real quick. Okay. Childhood friend Joy came back into her life. See, all of us are here for some reason. Someone was willing to take the risk. Now, there are people here who have been Christians their whole lives. You were actually born a Christian. You had no choice in the matter. And there are people here who are still trying to figure this whole Christianity thing out. And there are folks who are here. There are some of you who are here because your spouse or somebody else dragged you along and you had to be here. See, I get all that. But still, someone cared enough to invite you. And that's not an accident. See, for the last 2,000 years, that is how the gospel has been shared. One person to another. Starting with a 15-year-old girl on the other side of the world who spoke the words, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." You see, God is relying on you and me to continue the invitation to his table. It's up to you now to share the gospel, the good news, to share Jesus Christ with others. Now, I know there's 1,001 reasons why each and every one of us can come up with, on why somebody is better equipped or better at doing this, better qualified. And maybe it's reasonable. But look who God chose to be the example. An uneducated, 15-year-old, terrified girl some 2,000 years ago. Those are some pretty slim qualifications, if you ask me. But look at what God was able to accomplish through her just because she was willing. Do you get that? Just because she was willing. God doesn't need your qualifications or your ability. He just needs your availability. He just needs you to be willing to do what he asks you to do. I think most folks are afraid that they will do or they'll say something wrong, and therefore they don't even try. We're so afraid of messing things up or failing that we never even give it a shot. But you see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It is about the Holy Spirit working through you. You just have to be willing. God needs you. Granted, he can do it all on his own, and I understand that, and we can have great big talks about that. But he needs you. That is his plan. Each and every one of us are without an excuse. as we wrap it up this morning, our call is to share Jesus Christ. It's the same. Do you care enough about the people? You know, those who are beyond these walls, we talk a lot about that. The people around you, those at school or at work, at home, maybe in your neighborhood, and the things you're doing. Do you care enough to respond? Much like Mary did. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And if God calls you, if the Spirit prompts you, would you be willing to go and to share with somebody? You could think of people that shared with you. Are there people that you need to share with? Think about it. Pray about it.